Macromedia have really jumped on the accessibility bandwagon, and over the last few months we've heard several stories about the new MX series, products that are accessible. Today, something a little bit different, because we're looking at accessing material other than through a PC, using products produced with Macromedia Director. To tell us about what Director is and the latest innovations with the current release, we're joined by Macromedia's Director of Accessibility, Bob Regan. Bob, welcome back to the program. Just before we get into talking about Director, which is why we're here, I think that the story on Contribute has elicited the most responses to any story that we've done in quite a while. Have you had any more feedback on Contribute subsequent to its release and what people are thinking about it?
Well, yeah, everyone's been very excited. I think that the idea of a tool that creates content for the web simply and easily in familiar terms for non-technical folks, at the same time does so accessibly, I think has been one that's resonated quite positively with both the accessibility community and the traditional accessible community, but also for folks for whom accessibility might be a new topic. And so we've been really excited and pleased by the response, and I think that it does set a standard in the industry for what should be expected of products in terms of accessibility. And also, it helps add fuel to the fire of accessibility within Macromedia, that we're on the right track, we're doing the right thing, and that what we should do is keep focusing on how we can make it even easier across our product line.
And is that part of your role? Do you see yourself as kind of an internal advocate in Macromedia, a champion of accessibility, reminding the other developers as to what they should be doing?
Absolutely. That is exactly my role. And it's in some cases, it's a purely activist role where all I have to do is point out to people the social value to paying attention to this issue, and people do it. As soon as they realize it's an issue, they simply do it. In other cases, my role is one of business advocate, where I help us identify the business opportunity, and there are substantial business opportunities associated with accessibility, and frame our discussion that way. But the key thing, no matter what, is I don't get into fights with people over accessibility. We push the issue where it falls. We always come to accessibility for different reasons, and my job, in many cases, internally, is to find the hook that will get us to not only embrace accessibility, but continue to think about the issue in the long run, so that I don't have to be the nursemaid of accessibility.
The bottom line would be 508 compliance, though, wouldn't it?
The bottom line is 508 compliance in terms of what got this ball rolling. But now that we're starting to see accessibility extend beyond the bounds of the federal government in the United States, we're really starting to see the value of this initiative and going beyond 508, the importance of going beyond Section 508 requirements. So that means the 34 different states within the United States that need accessibility, the new legislation that recently went into effect in the United Kingdom, the legislation that goes into effect in 2003 all throughout Europe, the policies that are coming into line in Australia and throughout the Asia-Pacific region, I think all continue from where Section 508 began.
All right, then. So let's have a chat about Macromedia Director. And for those people who aren't familiar with it, I guess we should start at the beginning and find out what it actually does.
So with Director MX, you're going to be creating applications that may or may not reside on the web. These would be, Director started off as an application to help people create learning content and CD-ROM-based content back before the Internet was even much more than a twinkle in the eye of the browser developers. And so it's truly designed to be fully packaged application development environment. So it's a pretty powerful tool. And with Director, what we wanted to do in terms of accessibility is start to think about the way that people were using Director and meet the accessibility needs there. And what we started thinking about were moments where people didn't necessarily have access to assistive technology, where a reliable configuration was not predictable. Examples of this might be things like kiosks in government offices, museum kiosks, airport kiosks, ATMs, ATM in the U.S. is the bank teller machines. Training or computer labs where you might have a Macintosh lab, or you might have a variety of different computers, and predicting the use of assistive technologies would be difficult. So we worked with Director as opposed to Flash in providing direct access to applications without relying on screen readers. And in so doing, we were able to start thinking about accessibility in a range of other environments beyond the type, the person sitting comfortably at their home with a cup of coffee using the browser sitting next to them, using the screen reader that's associated with their computer. And so the, I worked with the Rhode Island School of Design recently at a conference and was approached by a number of people working in museums that happened to be there asking about this very issue, just so happens. And for them, accessibility is a must. They receive federal funds. They view it as a very important thing for them to do. But they're also primarily Macintosh, and they want to stay on the Macintosh. And so what they had to do in order to create accessible content was to essentially turn their applications into a screen reader, which for them meant a lot of hand coding. They had to hire some voice talent to come in and do some of the reading. Director MX addresses those types of concerns. It packages a variety of tools together that allows developers to drag and drop accessibility scripts that will make their content behave like a screen reader. In addition, it uses the native text-to-speech functions within Windows and on the Macintosh, as well as a new set of functions to control speech so that the applications can be self-voicing with the capability of providing users a lot of control over how that text is read.
So these products could run on a Mac or a Windows-based PC, but they may also be on a standalone device.
Correct. Correct. These could be self-packaged into on the Windows side an .exe file, or on the Mac side as a projector, and run in a variety of environments. And so we really do get to see a lot of different types of places where accessibility could come into the fray. An example of a project that I'm working on now with a couple of vendors in the name of security and emergency response, we're working with a hardware vendor on a kiosk that could be deployed in the event of emergency that would travel a bit like just a suitcase that could be unfolded in the street in case of emergency and help people quickly and easily find shelter and locate family members who might be in other shelters in the area. The goal there was to make sure that the content and the application that's run on that kiosk was accessible. And so the manufacturer approached me about Director to see if there was anything that we could do to make things easier in Director, and as it turned out, we were already pretty far along with Director MX, so he decided to use Director to do this. And so we start thinking about the challenges of design for direct accessibility. You know, we wouldn't want to put JAWS or Window Eyes on a machine like this and require that the user be familiar with one screen reader over another. The other thing that was interesting as we got into this, we started thinking about the issues, the other uses of the kiosk. There's a number of features in it for command and control. So firefighters might be able to find the rest of their unit. And police might be able to quickly locate other resources that are available. And we started thinking a lot about how people who on a day-to-day basis might not have a functional limitation we'd call a disability, but would be operating under some level of diminished capacity. The stress that's involved with emergency response, protective clothing, would necessitate that, you know, things like text-to-speech could be used to help reinforce comprehension, that keyboard access could be used to help make using the application easier when wearing protective clothing. But then we also started to think in less dramatic situations about things like airports, where stress and diminished capacity and access are just as important. And the techniques required in developing content, directly accessible content for emergency response, become very, very helpful for helping us think about designing accessible content in stressful situations like an airport. And so Director really helps facilitate that type of design and design in moments where we can't reliably predict what type of screen reader the user might have available to them.
And I suppose that with more services becoming self-service, for example, when you go into a number of airports these days, and if you have electronic ticketing, it's possible by following the prompts on some of these kiosks to retrieve your boarding pass without any kind of contact with a human, and often blind people find themselves shut out of those systems, and presumably Director can be used for those kinds of applications.
Exactly. And you know, we can go even a step beyond there to providing information that would be very, very helpful in terms of directions, specific directions to the gate via text. We can leverage this type of tool to help us rethink how paging systems work in airports. You know, there's a lot of information that's made available over the intercom systems that's not available to people who are deaf. So we can take advantage of a tool like Director to provide information to people who are deaf and hard of hearing that's commonly spoken only over the loud system in an airport. So you'll find a lot of people who are deaf with stories of missing flights because of a gate change that was only available over the intercom system.
I don't know whether Macromedia gets into this area or not, but one of the most frustrating areas for blind people these days, with all of the awareness out there about computer technology that there is just everyday appliances that are becoming more computer-driven, such as cell phones, VCRs, DVD players, all that kind of stuff. Do you see any kind of future in the work that you're doing to make those products more accessible?
Absolutely. It's one of those things where once you're cued into design and accessible design, you pay attention to things like digital cable. You know, why isn't digital cable accessible? What can we do to make digital cable accessible? Because as a technological geek, for example, as someone who really, really loves technology, it's very, very disappointing to me when I find myself enjoying something that's only available to a small percentage. It diminishes my love of the gadget. And I think that in looking at something like television accessibility right now, you know, I think to myself, well, we have a number of flash players that we could be using to do this. Maybe we should be exploring moving technology like that into new arenas, so we can leverage the accessibility hooks that are already there. Maybe, you know, in the cell phone arena, I think that we're really, you know, that's you know, probably one of the biggest frustrations that I hear over and over and over again right now. And I'm always trying to find the greatest idea and trying to help us move that along. I think that I know that a lot of my colleagues in the mobile phone business are trying to do the same thing. But I think that I would love to collaborate with groups to try and come up with solutions that make that possible.
You've obviously got Section 255 of the Telecommunications Act in the United States, which people have varying opinions about in terms of its effectiveness. But is there really, outside of the legal arena, which might be compelling people to move in this direction, is there a sufficient business case to really get a lot of companies, the cable companies, the cell phone people, interested in this?
I think that in order to drive the business case, you need a certain amount of fear. And I say that somewhat tongue-in-cheek. But you need some motivating factor that would jeopardize the existing business in order to make a new business model based on accessibility. So in the case of telecommunications, certainly the threat of losing business to a competitor who becomes accessible would be sufficient motivation. Certainly, the idea that you might face a very serious lawsuit because of repeated and deliberate discouragement of accessibility or just simply ignoring accessibility over a period of time could serve as an impetus to begin down a path where accessibility would become important. I think that, you know, 255 hasn't served to light kind of the same sort of passion around accessibility that we've seen with Section 508, but I do think that it could serve as a strong basis for accessibility going forward. I know that here in the U.S., there are a number of telecommunications companies that are not only paying lip service to this, but really are in earnest trying to improve the accessibility of their services and the tools with which people use to connect to them. But I think that the challenge that they face in some ways is more complex because of the nature of the cell phone. So I don't want to be dismissive of their efforts. I think that they've got a pretty serious challenge in front of them right now. And certainly I think there are ways that we can collaborate to help facilitate that within the software that runs on a number of these phones. But I'm certainly not envious of the challenge at all times that they have to face.
We've talked about the director experience from the end user's point of view and the hope that we will see many more accessible applications for it. How about creating content using this? Can a blind person do that?
No. At this point, no. That's the first step with any one of our products is to try to make sure that the output is accessible. And with the engineering resources we have in any given release, we generally have to draw the line at a certain number of hours. And unfortunately, in this release, we expended all of our effort simply making the content accessible. Although across all of our products, we have a strategy that first focuses on making the content accessible, second, providing features to help facilitate the accessibility of output, and then third, making the application itself accessible. So at this point, the expectation is that we've got a first step that takes us to the point of making the output accessible. In future releases, we will continue down that path to improving upon the features that we have in this release, providing features to facilitate the delivery of accessible content, and at the same time, looking through to see where what we can do to make the tool itself accessible.
Right, because obviously there is a group of very talented blind programmers who are increasingly being challenged by inaccessible programming environments.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, you know, some of the things that we've done with some of the other applications is to try to leverage the tools that we have that are accessible. For example, in Flash, the Flash authoring tool itself is also inaccessible to people who are blind. However, the scripting language for Flash is called ActionScript. And if you're interested in if you are a blind developer who would like to write ActionScript, probably the most convenient environment to write that ActionScript code would be within Dreamweaver, where we have all of the same code hints and support that would be available for sighted developers within the Flash environment would also be available then to blind developers within Dreamweaver environment. And so in some ways we try to think about accessibility at a product line level as opposed to an individual product level, in thinking through which aspects of the tools we can make accessible and what can we leverage from what we have today to help get people started right away. So that, you know, one of the things I don't like to do is to ask people to wait. We should always be leveraging everything that we can do today to its the fullest extent possible, and at the same time continue to tackle the larger challenges of accessibility, make sure that we're continually making progress along those lines.
Is the concept of having self-voicing applications and the concept of having applications that are screen reader friendly using standard Windows controls, etc., mutually exclusive? Because I'm thinking if you do have one of these applications on a PC where you also happen to have a screen reader with which you're familiar, I guess that most blind people would rather use the application in conjunction with a screen reader and then fall back to the self-voicing model if there was no alternative.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, it was a real challenge for us to try to think about how to slice up the different types of situations in which someone would use Director versus Flash, for example. I think that, you know, obviously, whenever you have access to your own screen reader, you'd like to use that. And that was something that was communicated to us loud and clear by our customers. The challenge is, what happens when that screen reader isn't there? And, you know, there certainly are going to be situations where there's some degree of overlap. And my advice to developers is always, if you know, always be aware of the how the product you're developing is going to be used. If you can predict that somebody is going to be using this with their own screen reader, then you want to think very seriously about the use of Flash. If someone is going to be using this content and there's a potential that the information is going to be needed without the support of a screen reader or under Mac OS X, then you're going to need to think very seriously about using Director. And those can be tough challenges and tough decisions for people to make, and I think that what's important there is that people make those decisions thoughtfully.
Well, the part of the problem is obviously having the capability in the development tools so that these things can be achieved. And then the next part of the problem, once that's done, is obviously encouraging developers to make use of all of this cool accessible technology you've put in. What are the strategies Macromedia has in mind to encourage developers to make their applications accessible?
I think that the first thing that you'll see is a general awareness raising. And in a lot of cases with our customers, this might be the first time, we might be the first place that they learn about accessibility. For anyone new to design, anyone at a college or university campus who's thinking about getting into media development as a career, they're likely going to encounter our products. And we want to make sure at those moments that we get the message across that accessibility matters, that it's possible, and then beyond that, provide them with the techniques that they need in order to really create accessible content. So the way we'll do that then is not only by adding features and developing features within our products, but we'll also accomplish that through just plain old-fashioned training. We do a lot of writing and training on our website, macromedia.com/accessibility. And provide people with a lot of information about how to create accessible content.
You know, because I was on a forum recently with a group of web developers that I just happened to stumble across, and there does seem to be a lot of resentment and a bit of a backlash towards the whole accessibility thing. People are saying, well, blind people need to get real. How do they use a computer anyway? There seems to be a lot of ignorance of that, and maybe they just need to have somebody helping them to use these things. Why do we have to go to all this trouble? Are you detecting that, or did I strike this web developers forum on a bad day?
No, I think that's a pretty normal reaction, and the way I like to frame that type of thing is that what we're doing is we're taking people who are experts, and we're taking away some of the tools that they use on a daily basis that they consider essential to their expertise in this area, and we're asking them to change. When we do that, when we ask people to change an area in which they are experts and modify it a little bit and take them out of their area of comfort, then we see resistance and we see frustration and we see confusion. And that's familiar in many ways to people who are blind. They're asked to do that all the time. And so one of the things that I've tried to do very, very much within the developer and designer community is to try to help be very, very sympathetic with those feelings and saying, you know, we're going to ask you to do things a little differently, but we're also going to show you exactly how to accomplish what you were doing before, just using a slightly different technique that will interoperate better with assistive technology and, in general, make your designs better. What I find is that once we get over that initial hurdle and we get people looking at techniques that are more in line with accessibility, about 6 months later, they tend to come back and say thank you. I had a presentation at a community college in California where they had a very prominent media development program, and the response was really quite vituperative, might be a good word to describe it. But I ran into them again, this is about 8 months later, at a conference last week. And they really were very, very happy because, once again, they had become experts. And now they were experts in accessibility. That once they had gotten over that hurdle, they were able to, they had really sort of embraced the use of cascading style sheets of a true XHTML standard. And once they had gotten over that and developed their tricks and workarounds for visual layout, and at the same time were using screen readers and screen magnifiers as part of their testing and evaluation suite, they found that they had regained their status as being the true experts in design, but at the same time, now they had arrived at a point in terms of their designs where their designs were more elegant, they were cleaner, and they were running well on a broader variety of environments.
Right, and it's another plus, another benefit that they can add to their CV in terms of this is what you get if you employ me.
Exactly.
Very good. Well, so if people want to find out more about all of these developments with the whole MX suite, it's good to go to macromedia.com/accessibility. And you do seem to be rolling out some very interesting stuff there, so I appreciate you coming on the program and briefing us about Director.
It's a pleasure, as always.